jumper on the way. He hits, and it's a three. It's a franchise record, 54 for Karl Anthony Towns.
Wolvescast, audio on demand.
Gibson struggling to get it in. Finds Wiggins. Andrew around a town screen. Inside of midcourt. Launches the three. At the buzzer. Banks it in. Andrew Wiggins has won it at the buzzer. Lobs it up ahead. Tyus rises up and slams it with the right hand. Taj Gibson with a defensive play of the game. It's over. It's over. Celebrate, Wolves Nation.
Welcome into Wolvescast Audio on Demand. John Folkey alongside Cal Soderquist here on the Timberwolves Radio Network. And coming up on this episode, we'll take a trip down memory lane, reliving some Metrodome memories with former Timberwolf Pooh Richardson. We'll also check in with Jeff Teague. And of course, Cal will give us three in the key to preview the rest of this four-game homestand. But Cal, speaking of four games, Minnesota has won four straight, and they picked up their fourth straight win Wednesday in dominating fashion over the San Antonio Spurs, holding the Spurs to 89 points as they roll and get the victory, evening up their record at 500. The number that jumps out when you take a look at that box score, there were great defensive numbers up and down, but it was Robert Covington, a plus 44 for Minnesota. Cov coming off a season-high 24 points Monday in the win over Cleveland. 22 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, but plus 24. It was a number Tibbs said he'd never seen before, but it's not the best plus-minus in franchise history. We'll talk about that in a moment, but Covington's impact has been incredible since he joined the team back on November 12th, and in the games that he's played, Minnesota has been dominant on the defensive end. He's been a huge part of it.
Well, how often do we hear, too, the head coach, Tom Thibodeau, mention the winning plays that guys make? And oftentimes, those don't show up in the box score. It could be a deflection that leads to a fast break, et cetera, help defense. But this is pretty tangible evidence that Robert Covington helps you win games, plain and simple. A plus 44 is almost hard to fathom, I think. And he was even a little bit shocked when Alan Horton mentioned it to him in our post-game interview, so that was pretty cool. But it's been impressive to see what Cove has done, not only getting here, making these plays and this impact, but pretty quickly. I mean, transitioning rather seamlessly, bringing that effort every single night. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
I mentioned the plus 44 for Covington, not the best in Timberwolves franchise history. Go back to November 8th, 2001. The Timberwolves pick up a 127-74 win over the Chicago Bulls. Joe Smith, a plus 52. Wally Szczerbiak, a plus 50. Terrell Brandon, plus 48. Rasho Nesterovic, plus 46. And KG, plus 44. Those all in that game over the Chicago Bulls. So just a dominating performance by the starters in that win for Minnesota. I mentioned that the Wolves have been getting it done on the defensive end. Over the last nine games, they are number one, Cal, in defensive rating. Feel like we need to take a snapshot and frame it because Minnesota has had their struggles on the defensive end. But what's the biggest area of improvement that you've seen defensively over the last nine games for this team?
Well, I think a guy like Robert Covington certainly helps, and it's certainly not a coincidence that his arrival has kind of matched up with that stretch. But at the same time, you get that number and you get that rating by being connected. And defense is so much about communication as it is about the one or two guys that help lift you up. So I think we've seen a more connected team. I think the chemistry has really been incredible, even when you're incorporating two new guys, when you include Dario Saric, who has played some key minutes, even though he's not a starter. So that's been impressive to me, is everyone being on that same page, and also the effort plays, the little things, guys helping out. It was a lot of fun to see Karl Anthony Towns and Robert Covington joking with one another after a shoot-around on Wednesday that they both help each other out, whether it's Covington on the perimeter making Cat's life easier or Cat helping out with some blocks and some of that imposing inside presence when Cove needs it.
Not only that, but the rebounding has been better, as has the defense inside in the painted area. Minnesota has had a big advantage in the paint over the last nine games. All right, still to come, Cal will rejoin us to go three in the key. We'll hear from Pooh Richardson, but coming up next, Jeff Teague. We put him in the spotlight on Wolvescast on the Timberwolves Radio Network.
The season is here, and unforgettable experiences are just waiting for you and your group. Catch the pack in action and get in on pregame performances, player high fives, photo ops, and more. Find your experience now at Timberwolves.com/groups. Minnesota Timberwolves, all eyes north.
Welcome back to Wolves Cast. John Folkey with you here. Still to come on the program, Cal Soderquist will rejoin us as we go three in the key. Plus, we'll continue our celebration of 30 seasons of Timberwolves basketball by reliving some Metrodome memories with former Timberwolf Pooh Richardson. But first, the Wolves have been on a roll since that trade with Philly, which coincided with the return of Jeff Teague, who missed six games with a knee injury. The point guard is averaging 8 assists over the last 9 games as Minnesota's gone 7-2. And after a season-high 33 assists in Wednesday's win over the Spurs, they've seen their assist percentage jump from 20th up to 8th in the NBA. For more on Jeff Teague, we put him in this week's spotlight.
Growing up Northwest Indy, you had a basketball court in your yard. What was that like going out there and playing with your brothers and learning the game there?
It was great having the opportunity to have a court at my house. So I remember the year and when we moved there, I was 10. And my dad kind of put his own little concrete down. It was kind of lumpy or whatever, but we made it work, man. We worked on our game a lot.
With the lumps like that, did that help you develop your handles? You're used to kind of...
That's what my dad says. I think it gave me ankle problems.
what was it like, though, growing up and playing with your brother and your dad and, like, learning the game on a court like that?
It was great. My dad taught us everything that I know now, me and my brother and my older brother. And we just competed all the time. We'd be out there during the night, day, morning. All the time, man. So it was great just to have an opportunity to be able to play every day and all day.
And when we think of Indiana, probably think everybody's got a basketball court in their backyard.
It's kind of true. You drive by on the streets, it's going to be one in the front yard. And it's probably a good chance they have one in the backyard, too.
Growing up in that culture, that basketball culture, how much did that really help develop and foster your love for the game?
Honestly, Indiana basketball is everything. I tried to play other sports like football and things, and the love just wasn't there. Everybody loves basketball in Indiana. You know, you watch the movie Hoosiers growing up, and it's just a thing that everybody does, man. I can't lie. I went to a couple football games when I was back home, and it's just like, it's cool. But if you go to an Indiana Pacers game or an IU or a Butler game, it's going to be a different atmosphere.
Well, and you've got the tattoo, right, of the skyline and 317.
Yeah, so I love where I'm from. It built me to the person I am today. Gave me the character and the goals and all the things that you get from being in Indiana when it comes to basketball and just being a good person, I think. Indianapolis molded me into that.
And as you started playing basketball, you talked about the love of it and the passion for it, but what was it about the game that you liked so much?
Just being competitive, just going out, and I was getting beat by my older brother all the time, so it gave me something to drive and strive for. I wanted to beat him, and him being a really good player helped me become a better player, and then when I started playing guys my age, I got a kick out of beating them. I'm like, man, I can keep winning, and I became addicted to winning, so when I just kept playing. I tried to get better and better because I wanted to keep winning.
Do you remember the first time you beat your older brother?
I honestly didn't beat my older brother till I was my second year in the NBA. It's true. He had like a mind control thing over me. I would get up like 6'2", and he would always come back and win. Then he wouldn't play me the rest of the week, rest of the day. And I would be so mad, and then it would come over to us playing Monopoly, and we would fight or playing anything. Me and him will argue, and that's just how competitive our family was.
And so you finally beat him. Do you hold it over him? Do you beat him consistently?
No, because I was beating your whole life. I had to keep your confidence up because you're in the NBA. I wanted you to make some shots, and you know how it goes. But it took me a long time to beat him. I remember it was the summer going into my third year.
What was the play? What was the move that you beat him on?
I really just got physical because he's a really strong guy, and I was lifting that summer, and I was just blowing by him. I was in the NBA, and he told me, he was like, it's only because you got pro trainers and stuff like that. You know how it goes. But, when I remember when I beat him, I talked so much junk for so long, and I still do to this day. So I'm glad I got that win.
And you talked about that competitiveness growing up. Like, did it translate over to Monopoly, to board games, to card games?
You should see us now. If you come to my house in the summer, just having a little family gathering, me and him compete all day. My dad, I can swim faster than you. I can do this better than you. And then my little brother chime in. We like, ah, you the baby. We don't hear it. And it's just a little competitive thing we got going on.
Yeah, that Teague family, incredibly competitive. And we saw both the Teague brothers square off in a meeting here at Target Center last season. All right, still to come, we preview the rest of this four-game homestand with Cal Soderquist. But next, our celebration of 30 seasons continues as we check in with the Timberwolves' original draft pick, Pooh Richardson.
The Timberwolves are back, and so is College Night, presented by U.S. Bank. For select home games, college students can get upper-level tickets for $10 by using a valid .edu email address online. Visit Timberwolves.com/college for more info. Minnesota Timberwolves, all eyes north.
WolvesCast continues. John Folkey with you here. Minnesota in the midst of a four-game homestand and enjoying the comforts of the newly renovated Target Center, off to their best start at home since the 01-02 season. But the Wolves didn't always call this arena home. As we continue our celebration of 30 seasons of Timberwolves basketball, one of the original members of the franchise, Pooh Richardson, recalls Minnesota's first home, the Dome.
That first season, you guys are playing your games at the Dome. I've heard that the walk from the locker room to the floor, you had to give yourself about a half hour to make it. What were some of kind of the intricacies and quirks of playing basketball at a Dome that size?
Well, you know, for us playing at the Dome, I thought it was an advantage because we were so used to it. You know, we accustomed to being in the background, in a depth perception. The funniest thing ever, you know, because in the summers, me going to UCLA and living in Los Angeles, in the summers I would play with all the pros and, you know, even as a freshman in college, played against all the pros. And so the transition of coming to the NBA really wasn't, other than learning different teams and different cities, it really wasn't like a surprise because you kind of knew what you were getting into because of those experiences. But so we played the Lakers one day and it was about maybe about 43 below zero with like a negative 72 wind chill factor. And I could just remember James Worthy complaining as we were walking in. He was grabbing his head and the wind was blowing and they had these cotton sweats on. And I was like, man, you guys are not dressed for the occasion. You know, the weather was so grueling for them. I was laughing. I laugh at all the guys when they come in and they're not dressed properly. And you know, that's another advantage we had.
Set the all-time attendance record at the Dome that year. Mm-hmm. And I think of your first win, overtime against Philadelphia, nearly 30,000 people. Do you have any memories of kind of what the fans were like when they could finally cheer the first win for this franchise?
Yeah, it was great because we would always come close and we would play our hardest. But, you know, when you have veteran teams have been around, they always pull away from you in the fourth quarter. It's the same thing as today. You know, you have those really athletic young teams might play you for three quarters. In that fourth quarter, the leadership or the veteran leadership takes over. So we played a lot of close games we should have won or could have won. Not say should have won because, you know, I'm sure the veteran teams knew exactly what they were doing. But it were games that we, you know, could have won that we didn't pull out. But that particular game, we hung in there, and things started going our way. We were making shots, we were making plays, and having defensive stops. And ultimately, we got that win, which was a long time coming, and our fans was going crazy. It was like we won the championship, you know, like a national championship.
As part of the 30th season celebration, Wolves will be wearing special Hardwood Classic uniforms throughout the season. Next Hardwood Classic game is coming up Monday as Minnesota hosts the Houston Rockets. You can get your tickets at Timberwolves.com. Keep it here. We go 3 in the key with Cal Soderquist next on the Timberwolves Radio Network.
Experience the pack like never before with the official mobile app of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Whether you're at home, at Target Center, or anywhere around the globe, the app is your remote control to all things Timberwolves. Head over to the App Store or Google Play to download it now.
Wrapping up WolvesCast, we welcome Cal Soderquist back onto the program. Time to go 3 in the key, preview the final three matchups of this four-game homestand for Minnesota. The Wolves riding a four-game winning streak. Cal, what you got for us?
A fun homestand, right? We should get some good games, good matchups. We'll start with three key players, Boston in town on Saturday, and you instantly think Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, but how about Jason Tatum? He's our first key player. He's the second-year swingman, continuing to build kind of on that impressive rookie campaign, specifically his last five games, just averaging an efficient 18 points, 52% shooting, and 45% from deep, just kind of that perfect it's almost a disservice to call him a role player, but that's kind of what he is for the Celtics, and it works really, really well. Someone who certainly isn't a role player when you consider the Houston Rockets in town on Monday, James Harden. It's been a very bizarre season for Houston. They're almost unrecognizable. We'll talk more about their struggles in a second, but Harden has looked very familiar. He's the leading scorer. He had that season-high 54 earlier this week at Washington, and coming off a 25-point, 17-assist, 11-rebound triple-double on Wednesday. His last five games, 39 points, 12 dimes, 6 boards, 46% shooting, 40 from deep. We saw what he can do against the Wolves, though Minnesota did have a little bit of success in the playoffs, at least trying to make things difficult for him. So fun to watch that rematch for the first time since the postseason.
Well, great numbers, but they've dropped four
exactly.
in a row. So great individual numbers, but it hasn't related to team success lately for Houston.
Which is a head-scratcher. And finally, as far as this gauntlet of fun home matchups against capable scorers, Kemba Walker. And just a quick plug, ESPN's Zach Lowe had a really good piece on Kemba and kind of how Kemba had to redefine himself as a player to try to reach these new heights. He's posting career bests basically across the board. He's currently fifth in the league in scoring, and people will remember that bonkers two-game stretch that he had just in mid-November, I think 60 and then 43 in consecutive games. So he'll be a lot of fun to watch here at the Target Center on Wednesday. Quickly, two key stats. First, this. 1-3, the Boston Celtics so far this season on the second end of a back-to-back set, just 1-3, and that's what they'll be facing on Saturday when they visit the Wolves here at Target Center. They'll be in Cleveland on Friday night taking on the Cavs, so Minnesota getting a little bit of some schedule advantage there, I guess. And finally, we mentioned Houston struggling. They've lost four straight games after Wednesday's setback against the Mavs, and now already the second time this season they've lost four straight. When you look at last season's Houston Rockets team, for a little bit of perspective, all of last year, just one single losing streak of three or more games. So really kind of struggling at an unprecedented level, at least for this collection of Houston Rockets. So something to keep an eye on. And real quick, we close up with a key matchup. You can make your pick here. Robert Covington, we've mentioned the impact he's had for the Wolves defensively. When you think of some of the volume perimeter scorers that he'll face in these next three, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kemba Walker, and that doesn't even include some of those other talented perimeter players that we'll see. So Robert Covington going to have his hands full, but I think if anyone's excited about that opportunity, it certainly is Rocco.
All right, so get your tickets, Timberwolves.com. You don't want to miss it. And remember, Hardwood Classic game Monday against the Houston Rockets. Timberwolves.com for all your ticket needs. That'll do it for this episode of WolvesCast. For Cal Soderquist, I'm John Folkey. We'll talk to you again next week right here on the Timberwolves Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of the Timberwolves Radio Network.